Lead to St. John chapter number 16. St. John chapter number 16. I want to read one verse of scripture here. And I want to move on over to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. But beginning here is St. John chapter number 16. I'm reading verse number 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. May God add his blessings now to the reading of this word. Bow your heads with me again in prayer. Father, thank you again for the opportunity you've given me to once again stand here where I know that greater men in ministries than I have stood. But it has fallen my lot. Lord, I am both honored and humbled by the fact that you've chosen me for this moment. Now, I pray that you will make me a blessing to this church and to this pastor. Anoint me to speak for you and not just talk about you to this audience. I pray now that you will heal the sick, that you will deliver those that are bound, and that you will set the captive free. Again, I ask that you will anoint this altar service tonight, and that your will be done in this place, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I want to title my sermon this evening, Overcoming by Faith. John, being the most intimate disciple, the Bible said that he leaned upon the breast of Christ. He recalled some of the greatest moments in the life of the Master. Here in the 16th chapter of the book of St. John, Jesus assures them, beginning first with letting them know where they are, warning them, making them become aware of what was around them in the beginning of the chapter. Then talked about the working of the Holy Spirit, the threefold work of the Holy Spirit toward the world. And then he moved on down to reveal the truth that when the Spirit is coming, that he would not speak of himself, but he would speak of Christ. And then as he ended this chapter, he began to deal with his death, his resurrection, and his second coming. So he ended by saying, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the 13th chapter of John, when they had their last supper together, talk about being intimate, my. It was scarred by ill feelings toward one another. In Eastern culture, they didn't pull a chair up to the table and eat like we do here in the Western Hemisphere. But they would lay with their feet outstretched and lean on an elbow, and they would dip in a common dish. Well, the subject of seniority came up. One was saying that I should have the preeminence. I have the seniority, that I should be the main disciple. Can you imagine as they glared at one another as they ate that supper? With supper being ended, as divine providence would have it, there was some servant there to watch the feet of the guests. It was said in Bible times that there was a slave in every room, that when a guest would come, they would wash their feet, whether out of obligation or a courtesy gesture. It was a common practice. But as divine providence would have it, there was no slave and supper being entered. Jesus took a towel, he girded himself, began to wash the disciples' feet. As they were in silence, he came to Peter. Now, Peter, I believe, had olive-colored skin and black curly hair and probably a black curly beard. He had all of the features of a Jew. But in my mind, and no pun intended, Peter, I want to picture him as a red-haired, freckle-faced, snaggle-toothed Irishman with a short beard. Because he always popped off before his brain ever got in here. And when Jesus came to his feet to wash his feet, Peter said, "You're not going to wash mine. I'm mad. I have a right to be mad. I'm going to be mad." Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you have no part of this ministry." That'll change the program almost instantly. Oh, don't just stop with my feet. Wash my hands. My head wash me over. It's not necessary that you have a bath. Just wash your feet. The servitude of Christ is the most beautiful picture in the Bible. And then Jesus said to them, "As I wash your feet, you must one another's feet." We move on to the 14th chapter of John. But after Jesus had came to them and told them, he said, I'm going away. And where I go, you can't come. Peter again, before his brain ever got together, his mouth was working. And he said, "Oh, no, 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 no." He said, I'm gonna go with you. I'm going to die with you. You're not going to go without me. I'll go with you." Jesus said to him, "You're going to die later, but you're not going to me on this trip." But in order to offset their frustration, he opened up the 14th chapter of the book of John by saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I told to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare that place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, I am the way, you know." We move on, giving them assurance, step by step, leading them into that moment. He then said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace." Trust me, he's saying, just trust me. Now, in the world, you will have tribulation. Somebody said, "Sure, it could get worse." I did, and it did. But he said, "In the world, you're going to have tribulation." Here, that's it. The child of God, this is the only place they'll suffer pain, agony, anguish, disappointment. This is the only place we'll cry. Hallelujah. But he said, "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now, I wish I could say I had committed this to memory, but I haven't. But it was too good to leave it home. I want you to listen. There is a danger of a form of triumphalism that suggests that Christians should always be riding high on success-oriented spirituality. The Christian's life in these terms is one of perpetual positive self-fulfillment. If that is your model of a Christian life, then as soon as you encounter struggles, you'll either become disillusioned, feeling God has let you down, or you'll become despairing, feeling that you've failed and have let God down. Now, see, there must be something wrong with your faith if progress is so demanding. Anyone seeking to fulfill God's purpose, to run the race to which he has all them will find themselves confronting one hurdle after another. It's true. Difficulties are not a punishment. They are a expected. When we become Christians, we undergo a radical change of allegiance. And if that hasn't taken place, you are not a Christian. And everybody said amen. We are taken out of one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, and transferred into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Neutrality is impossible. Well, I'm not going forward and I'm not going backwards. I'm just sitting still. No, that absolutely is not right. You're either digressing or you're progressing. If now we are in God's kingdom, living by God's values, we will inevitably be in conflict with a world which is hostile to God. It would be easy to become paranoid with fear if this was our only perspective of the journey ahead. And so Jesus balances realism with assurance when he says to us in our scripture text, in the world you will have trouble, you will have tribulation. That's the reality. There is no avoiding that kind of confrontation. But take heart, he said, I have overcome the world. It gets better. If you're ever going to shelter yourself here, he assures us that in the struggle, we will enjoy God's protection. And here, the opposition, however determined and hostile, ultimately have no other expectation than final defeat. He said, I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. The Parthians believed that the strength of every enemy they defeated went directly unto them. Spiritually, it is true. You see, with every triumph over a soul, there is a growing strength and power until the soul learns to take from conquered difficulties the strength they sought to take from us. Somebody wrote a song, I don't know if the English is correct, but the message is true. I'm taking it back. What the devil's done stole from me, I'm taking it back. It belongs to me. I'm talking about overcoming by faith. He said, I have overcome the world. Now, John began in chapter 5 of 1 John, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. You cannot love God without loving God's children. It won't work. You see, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. This is the assurance that we have been changed from darkness to light, and that we love the brethren. Hallelujah. We love the brethren. That's who it is. But this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. My dad was a disciplinarian. I introduced you to him just a few services ago. But my dad would tell me, you don't love me. I said, yes, I do. I love you. He said, no, you don't love me. He said, you won't do what I ask you to do. I said, that has nothing to do with it. He said, it has everything to do with it. So if we love him, we're going to keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Oh, listen, it's a delight. If I seek to do anything, I seek to please him with my mind. I seek to please him. That's my ultimate goal in life, is to have his approval. The violin is played. Every piece of music he played, the crowd gained him a standing ovation. Nervously, he accepted their applause and continued to play. After a while, when he had finished his music, the crowd stood and applauded. And nervously, he He just kind of twisted a bit and bowed. And the priest in the balcony, a silver-haired old gentleman, stood and slowly began to clap his hands. You could see the relaxed feeling in the face of that violinist as Penny bowed and accepted their applause. They said to him, "Why didn't you accept the applause of the audience? What was wrong with that?" He said, "It was the master's approval that I desired. The man that stood, the silver-haired gentleman, was my master that taught me to play this instrument. If there's anything I want, it is the approval of God Almighty." Hallelujah. I appreciate the applause of men. I appreciate every comment they give. But to say, "I seek no glory. I seek no glory. Oh my, I want his approval. I want his anointing. I want his touch. Oh, blessed be his name." Hallelujah. And so I keep his commandments. Wow. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Hallelujah. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And just one, he uses the term believeth. And just two, he uses the phrase keepeth his commandments. And just three, the phrase are not. In verse 4, it's the world, or the world system, that he talks about. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Faith is the cause of victory, the means, the instrument, the spiritual arm, the artillery by which we overcome. This is the victory that overcomes the world. We must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We must believe that. And by faith we cleave to Christ in contempt of and opposition to the world. We used to sing that old song, "I don't want to get adjusted to this world. I have a home that's so much better. I want to go there sooner or later. I don't want to get adjusted to this world." Somebody said, "Preacher, do you believe in aliens?" "Yes, I are one. I'm not some green blobby, three-fingered, three-toed, one-eyed creature riding a silver saucer, chasing the starlit tail comet across the ether reel of yonder world. But I can tell you, the night I got born again, it's a little country church way down in the tall pines of Georgia. I became an alien of this old world. It's not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't see in this world anymore." Hallelujah. This is faith working. And God, love to God and Christ, and so withdraws us from the love of the world. Now, whatever you love, it becomes your God. He said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. If you love him, he is your God." Have you ever heard anybody say, "I love to eat"? I've seen some folks that literally prove that. You don't love to eat. You love people. You don't love things. Somebody, I've heard them say, "I love the fish." They did. It kept them out of church. Kept them out of revival. Anything you love becomes your God. But you see, faith works in and by love to God and Christ. And so withdraws us from the love of the world. God gave me my wife. I love this lady. She gets prettier every day. Hallelujah. There's something about that. Hallelujah. There is a bond. There is a relationship. Hallelujah. It could be the same in our lives with God. Hallelujah. But nothing and no one can separate us. Oh, my God. Well, you see, that thing sanctifies the heart. It purifies it from those sinful lusts by which the world obtains such sway and dominion over our souls. Now, listen to me. It receives and derives strength from the object of it. The Son of God for conquering the frowns and the flatterings of the world. It receives, let me read that again. It receives and derives strength from the object of it. The Son of God for conquering the frowns and the flatteries of the world. It obtains by gospel promise a right to the indwelling Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. As your faith is, so be it. I mean, this is greater than he who dwells in the world. It sees an invisible world at hand. This world is not worthy to be compared, and into it which it tells the soul in which it resides, it must be continually prepared to enter, and thereupon the apostle concludes that it is the real Christian, that is the true conqueror of the world. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, sir. I'm talking about overcoming by faith to believe. To believe, yes, it's the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Dr. Wyman translated this fourth verse, and he said the victorious principle which has overcome the world is our faith. It's not divine, it's not intuition, but rather it is divine wisdom of God that overcomes, the divine act of God, if you will. Oh, yes, sir. John Bunyan, the peerless preacher of the past, they put him in a cell so small he couldn't relax. Here he was, no window, one door. He couldn't stand. He couldn't lay down. They came and badgered him mentally every day. They let you out of here if you quit this preaching. He said, gentlemen, why do I want out of here? Well, where Christ is, it is a kingdom now for me. Oh, listen, wherever he is, regardless of your circumstances, you may be front of your back in a sick bed. But I can tell you, he's still the victory that overcomes the world around us. When we're born again, this world has no dictation to us, if you will, no power over us. I promise you, we stand upon the word of God, we stand upon the promises of God, and we overcome, hallelujah, because of the work of grace that moves within us. Christ is alive within our hearts. Oh, yes, he is. It is nothing is achieved without faith, and nothing is impossible with it. All things are possible to him that believeth. Faith is victory. That little nasty French general, Napoleon, said that impossible is not a word in my dictionary. When we begin to focus on one thing, we begin to focus on our failures and the impossibility of the circumstances around us, we begin to lose ground. We lose our story. We lose our testimony. We lose our victory. But when we begin to focus not on the problem, but the solution of that problem, I'm here to tell you, victory belongs to the people of God Almighty, and there is nothing and no one that can defeat us or destroy us. We can stand on the promise of God, hallelujah, in the fury of the hell, and shout, hallelujah, and the victory You know, there was a, well, actually, he was the beginning of some of the Black Pentecostal movement in the early century. Charles Price Jones actually was the beginning of the Church of God in Christ. But he went to, they had experience in the Azusa Street stable, what they call the Azusa Street stable. Some refer to it as the Azusa Street. But there they were. They received the touch of God. Oh my. They went back. They were excommunicated. They were hated. They were persecuted. In fact, Charles P. Jones pastored near Jackson, Mississippi. And he came and literally burned the church to the ground and refused to allow the fire department to even put out the fire. His own family disowned him, wouldn't have anything to do with him. But it was in those ashes that he wrote the song, "There is nothing so precious as Jesus to me. Let earth with its treasures be gone. I'm rich as can be, for my Savior I see. I'm happy with Jesus alone. When sinful and doomed, no longer despair, no light on my pathway to come. But Jesus, you found me and made me an heir to mansions of glory divine. When nothing but death for my ransom could pay and make me accepted with God, for Jesus is freely himself made a prey and ransomed my soul with his blood. When asked, what about it, Charles? Your own family has disowned you. How are you going to handle that? He wrote the fourth verse. Should father and mother forsake me below, my dead upon earth be a stone. I'll cling to my Savior. He loves me, I know. I'm happy with Jesus alone. When I read that, I held that old hymnal to my chest, and I wept. I said, my story, this kind of an inspiration didn't die within the verses of this song alone. And then I found it. You'll recognize it. When pains of death eased on my soul, unto the Lord I cried. When Jesus came and then behold, I would not be denied. As Jacob in the days of old, I wrestled with the Lord, and he stood with a courage bold. I stood upon his word. Oh, Satan said, my Lord was gone, and would not hear my prayer. But praise the Lord, the work is done, and Christ the Lord is here. I would not be denied. I didn't come to church tonight to be intimidated by the force of hell. I didn't come to church tonight to be intimidated by doubt and unbelief. I came for this simple purpose. There is a God in heaven that is real and sits upon the throne with his son of God. I can tell you, he governs it at his will. I'm here to worship him. I'm here to lift him up. I am overcoming by faith. The world cannot dictate to me. The world cannot force me. Blessed be God. I am a child of God Almighty. Hallelujah. I am born into that world of God, and hell has no jurisdiction over me. That, despite the unhappy episodes that Jones faced, I wrote down what he said. Woo! Pardon me, I get overcome sometimes. Probably forget one. One meeting we had, five people were shot, but not seriously hurt. But despite all the episodes that faced Jones, he was determined to be happy with Jesus. Listen. He said, no name but his, no master but his, no law but his word, no creed but Jesus. for coming by faith. I want you to notice that God was thinking of a world which is hostile to God. The world with its passions, its wants, its pride, its selfishness, its sin. He was thinking of a spiritual conflict. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. This world is conquered by faith in God. They tore the Bible out of the little boy's hands in the communist country. They ripped it into shreds, threw it in the fire. He put his hand over his heart and whistled and said, "You may burn the Bible, but you'll never get these 22 chapters out of my heart on them." Hallelujah. The Popoff brothers suffered tremendously in communist prison. They would put them all in a cell. They would pray until one would stand with a revelation from God and began to preach. After a while, the guard would come, remove the heavy boat, drag that preacher down to the end of the corridor, chain his hands to that wall, and beat him until when he undone the cuffs, that he fell in an unconscious bloody heap. He would drag him back to his cell, throwing him in the cell with the rest of them, and lock the door and walk away. The others sat in horror as they looked, finding the one that was beaten. He would weakly stand, wipe the blood out of his eyes, and say, "Where was I when I was so rudely interrupted? I'm going to preach it again." Oh, hallelujah. Nothing, nothing, my God, nothing. Listen to me. Listen to me. We're overcoming the world around us. James talks about a world that is within us. Romans talked about a world that is without. Paul said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and do not conform to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and unpleasant will of God Almighty." Oh, listen to me. I'm here to tell you, you're an overcomer because of your trust and your faith in God Almighty and the obedience to His word. Corrie ten Boom, what a woman she was. She suffered in the German concentration camp, she and sister. They were humiliated. They suffered. Finally, miraculously, she was delivered. You read the story, you know the story. She was in a place preaching. And she preached that you must forgive, even forgive the Germans. After that discourse that night, the German man walked up to her and said, "Corrie ten Boom, do you believe what you preach?" She said, "Yes, I do." "Can you practice what you preach?" "Yes, I believe I can." He stuck his hand out. He said, "You don't know it, but I was one of the guards at the concentration camp where you and your sister was in custody." She said for a few seconds, "The singing passed before me." She said, "I couldn't bring myself to take his hand." And she said, "I reached out, took him by the hand, and said, 'You are the person I am.' What are we doing? We're overcoming the world around us. Are you listening to me? We're overcoming the world around us. There's victory in Jesus." Somebody say, "There's victory in Jesus. We're overcoming." Overcoming means to carry off the victory. To carry off the victory. It implies a battle. Here the forces of the world system of evil, the flesh, the totally deprived nature, the devil, the pernicious aid system with which the saints are surrounded, are all engaged in a battle against the saints, carrying on an incessant warfare, the purpose of which is to ruin his Christian life and testimony. But the verb is in the present tense, and it says is continually overcoming the world. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Hallelujah. Somebody shout amen. or overcoming. You see, it is a habit of life with the saints to gain the victory over the world. To go down and defeat is the exception and not the rule. Hallelujah. God. Hallelujah. I will not be defeated. I will not be defeated. Hallelujah. My God. Oh, yes, I'm talking about the faith that overcomes. When hell comes to you to enslave you, I promise you, you don't have to give the devil any information except your name, your rank, and your serial number. Hallelujah. That's all you need. Oh, my. He'll show up. I promise you, he'll show up. But he was defeated. He met his Waterloo. Oh, yeah. You know, the devil decided, I'll kill Jesus. I'll take care of all of that. And they crucified him. He had the seminar on how to kill Savior. Oh, yes. All the devils were there. All the demons were there. They were having their seminar on how to kill Savior. He knew how. He'd just kill one. They were beginning their little seminar meeting, but all of a sudden there was a knock on hell's door. Oh, yes, go see who that is. Answer that door. That little devil went to that door, came back. You can't have this seminar. It ain't going to work. Oh, yes, I can. I'm the devil. I'll do what I want to do. No, you can't have the seminar. Why? I know how to kill Savior. Yes, but he's not alive. He's not dead. He's alive. And he's at your front door. And he's demanding your keys. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, it was Jesus who opened that, defeated the hell and the devil and sin and sickness and the world system that God is in hospital. But I'm telling you, there is victory in Jesus tonight if we can stand upon that promise of God Almighty. Hallelujah.
Wow. God knows that. You see, John says first, it conquered because the fight is in progress. And then that conquered because the triumph is assured. The same authority says, I think, conquers the world by clinging to eternal reality. Come on, I'll not be defeated. I'll not be defeated. Hallelujah. Brother Gene Rice, Church of God preacher, pastor of a church near Birmingham, Alabama. In that church, he had a woman that was a pillar of that church. Not a pillar, but a pillar. Hallelujah. One day he went out to see her. She became bedfast. He went out to see her. She said to him one day, he said, Brother Rice, did I ever tell you how God brought my boy home from the war? He said, no, you never did. She said, I hadn't heard from my boy in a year and a half. She said, I didn't know if he was dead or alive. So I went across in front of the house in the pine thicket and got down on my knees. I was under such a burden. And I said, oh, God, I haven't heard from my boy. I don't know if he's dead or alive. But, Lord, I want to hear something, a letter, something. He said, I want to know it. He said, God spoke to me and said, your boy will be Christmas born. And he said, Brother Rice, you know how I knew it was God? He said, I felt the burden lift off of me. October came and went. November came and went. December the 24th rolled around. Not a word. Not a letter. The next day was Christmas Day. In those days, they didn't have any microwave ovens or the luxuries that we have now in preparing meals. With the old stoves, it started early in the morning. They got up before daylight to prepare the meal. At noontime, rolled around. And they started putting the ice in the glasses. Now, I'm not that old. But they tell me when they started putting ice in the glasses back in those days, business was picking up. Nowadays, we can take down the machine, and if it melts, we can chunk it and get some more. But not in those days. So we started putting ice in the glasses. my daughter came over, put her arm around, said, "Mother, we all make mistakes." She said, "I knew what you told me. She's trying to tell me that God hadn't told me." But she said, "I looked at her and said, God told me my boy's going to eat Christmas dinner with me this year. I'm going one more time to look out that door." She said, "I walked to that front door. I opened that front door. And said, down the road came my boy swinging a suitcase. He made it home for Christmas." Hallelujah. God said, "I'm overcoming the world. I'm overcoming the world." Hallelujah. "I'm overcoming the world." Wow. Have you ever had one of these echograms? Any of you fellas ever had? I've had an echogram where they put that junk on you and roll that little burger around, you know? You see that valve open, you know, all this stuff. Wow. How smart have we become? I had to have one of them the other day. They wanted to check my valves in my heart. See if any of them leaked it. Got a call today. Everything's wonderful. Well, listen, I'm overcoming the world around me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, some of these testimonies don't do anything in the world, but turn in the pity party sometimes. I've been in some testimony services, dear God, I was so glad when they was over. I was almost a nervous wreck. One fellow got up and said, "I'm not very high tonight." Well, funny now, dear God, we don't need to hear from you. One fellow got up right up here and said, "I don't know what I'd add to the service." Stop down, we don't need you. One lady got up to testify, and Brother Jim, she really had me on the side. I see that new crying. She's talking about how her health had gone on, and she's about spending all of her money, all of her children have moved off and left her, didn't seem like any of them cared about her. She's crying, and I've already tuned up. I'm helping her cry. And then she made a statement. When she did, I dried my tears. I said, "I don't feel sorry for you no more." She said, "All I have left now is Jesus." Oh my. I dried my eyes. I made a list. This is all she's got left. "He's my anointer, my anchor, my advocate, my authority, the Alpha, the Author. He is blessed. He's my brother. He's my beginning, my buckler, my baptizer, my beloved, my burden bearer. He is Christ of Calvary. He's my counselor, my creator, my comforter. He is divine. He is the door. He is direction. He is deliverer. He is Emmanuel. He is eternal. He's the end. He's our example. He's father, friend, our forgiver, fortress, strength, and fountain. He is the giver, giver of grace, of glory, and of goodness to us. He's our hope, our helmet, our holiness, our happiness. He's our healer, our high priest. He's our intercessor. He is our inspiration. He is our joy, our judge, our Jesus, our drawn air." That's all we got left. Listen, he's our King of Kings. He is Lord of our lamp, our light, our life, the lily of the valley, the Holy Lamb of God. He is merciful, master of the universe, our mediator, the morning sky. He's the name above all names, and Aberdeen, and never fails. He's the only one, the Omega, the Omnipotent. He is the promised one, the purifier, the perfecter, the purger, the provider, the protector, the power. He is powerful. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Potter. He's the physician. He quickens our spirit. He is the Redeemer. He is the Rock. He is the Revelator. He is the Resurrection. He is the Rose of Sharon. He's the River of Life. He's the Restorer. He's the Returning King. He is our strength, our sanctifier, our Savior, our Salvation, our Tomb, our Sword, our Shield, our Shelter, our Shepherd. He is our Truth, our Teacher. He is understanding the action of our spirit. He is the Vine, the Victory. He's the Well. He's the Water in the Well. He's the X of Xmas. He is our Yoke. He is our Zeal. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown the Lord of all. He is the victory. I said, He is the victory in my life. He is the victory in your life. Through Him we are overcomers. We are not defeated. Victory is ours. Hallelujah. I want you to stand with me tonight. Lift your hands and give God Almighty the glory. I want you to love Him